104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac, leading off with a big story of the day.
Charlie crushes his high and deep right field. Stay fair.
Durant for three. Kevin Durant, his third three-pointer already. Ibaka trying to stay with Durant. Knocks it away, and Durant slipping. Durant goes down holding his leg. And Durant grabbing that right leg. Leonard for three. Bang! Raptors lead. Leonard to the rim. Pull-up jumper. Got it! Kawhi Leonard taking over here in game five. Thompson, one fake, one dribble, one shot. Got it! Golden State retakes the lead. Leonard, back up Van Fleet. Van Fleet hits it out Lowry. Lowry for the win. Won't go! And there'll be a game six in Oakland.
And just to throw another log on the fire, the U.S. women beat Thailand 13-0. That game just wrapped.
You didn't get to watch any of that game?
No, I watched a lot of it. That's why I was a little bit late coming in here. I was actually kind of in awe. I mean, it was just standing there, just I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
So, but you must have missed the last six goals or so.
I
was just watching
it. By the time I had to leave to get here, even by a fraction on time, I think it was 7-0. So I think I may have missed six goals on my 20-minute or so drive-in.
Well, at first I was confused. Those last goals, the last five or six, I thought, is this for the World Cup championship?
Because
of the celebration. It was as if they'd never scored a goal before in their lives. They've never had they've never won before.
Yeah.
It was a little over the top. They were dancing on the sideline. You know, don't...
You're rubbing it in a little bit.
I thought so. I was in the minority. Richie, Kendall, they all thought, pour it on.
Oh, no.
Go
no,
for
no.
the jugular. I said the jugular was taken out a long time ago.
That's right. There was no point.
Mallory Pugh did score a goal, local girl from Mountain Vista.
That is amazing. That's awesome. I mean, it all counts at the end of the day. Your World Cup caps, your, you know, international goals. I mean, you know, it's all. It all kind of adds up. Nobody asks questions at the end of the day. So if you can pour it on,
If they can beat Sweden like that, I will stand up.
Of course, they're not going to beat Sweden like that.
And bow to them. But the tie, who I thought were going to be more competitive this game.
Why'd you think that?
I just thought they had a little, they were feisty. Maybe not the skill level.
No.
Not the same size as the Americans. But I thought they would give up the poor goalie. Poor goalie's parents. She didn't have a shot.
No, she didn't.
She did make a save with no arms or anything, just her chest.
Well, good for her. I'm glad her chest didn't concave.
But did they have to win like that?
No.
Not win like that, but sell. I don't care, whatever. You score your goals, but the celebration.
I saw the kid from Mississippi State hit that homer, and he was yoked up. And then this isn't a super regional. It's a big deal. And he's crossing first base, and the umpire's like yelling at him. Like, because the first base umpire is upset that he's showboating a little bit. He's not showboating. He's freaking pumped. But, you know, the circumstances of that game are pretty significant. Now, I'm not saying the circumstances of the U.S.-Thailand game aren't significant, but I think at 10-0, you got it locked down. You know, there's a couple of quirky rules there in soccer. You can only substitute three players. So no matter what, you can only make three changes.
Yeah, but you could go four corners. There's nothing to gain, I think, in competition after 10 goals have been scored. The tie could not clear the ball at all.
You're not excited for Alex Morgan to score five goals?
No, because she celebrated that fifth one like they just won the cup.
So So you're calling out the U.S. women for a lack of class.
They're the defending champions.
Are you calling them out for a lack of class?
It's just a little over the top for me. For me.
You're hesitating and...
What do you mean by calling them out? I mean, I'm just saying it was a little odd. My son got beat. He played 1 year of hockey for Kent Denver, who they were garbage. They had 9 skaters, 3 of who were in the Learning to Skate program. And Monarch beat them 20-0 with a running clock the last 2 periods. That's up terrible. In Superior.
That's terrible.
And they had their top line score goals 19 and 20, and they celebrated like they won the damn state title.
That's awful.
This is very similar to that.
Did you want to go over there and personally pound the crap out of every...
No, I didn't play.
But
if my son wanted to, I'd say you're well within your rights to do that.
Because your son, even though...
But he had no one else to back him up.
Right, because your son, even though he was on a terrible team, he's significantly bigger than most of the other kids.
Yeah, he was big. He was a sophomore.
You like the odds.
It just doesn't look 13-0. Go kill them and then some. It's the World Cup. Okay. All right. That's the take. I guess I'm definitely in the minority.
Oh, no. Well, I'm
not saying stop scoring. It's the celebration.
I would say stop scoring.
But even if you were, even if the coach is telling them to keep the pedal to the metal here, it's the celebration part of it. We're celebrating your 5th goal?
Yeah, that's stupid. But the good thing about soccer, it's a running clock. So it ends.
Well, it ends. I couldn't believe it. And they put 3 minutes on in stoppage time. I could not believe. You'd think Thailand would just decline the stoppage time. Just no thank you.
I don't know if that's an option, but that's pretty funny.
And they scored a goal in stoppage time.
The U.S. scored a goal in stoppage time.
Yeah.
See, I did have to drive in here.
Yeah, you missed the good stuff. You were actually watching a fairly competitive game. It was 3-0 at halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured the final might be 5-6-0. I mean, listen, this U.S. women's team is unbelievably skilled. I mean, they are ridiculous. And size-wise, they're going to have a size advantage on everybody. I can't imagine a bigger team than the U.S. women.
Sweden's probably pretty big. I think the French may have they're the home team. They may be favorites as well.
But you're right. When you celebrate like that, all of a sudden you become a little bit more difficult to root for. Like the U.S. women haven't been an underdog in soccer in a long time. I mean, they've more or less dominated the world scene, more or less since there has been a world scene. Or at least the rise in international play for U.S. women has gone really quick. Did you catch the new rule in soccer that they use to review a possible penalty long after the play is out?
The VAR thing?
Is that what they call it?
It's some sort of computer generated where they can find out if there was offsides and things like that.
Well, I saw... So there's a play in the box... U.S. woman gets knocked down, referee allows it to continue, and play goes for a while, and then the ball's eventually kicked out.
They do that in hockey, too. They will go back and review if a goal was scored.
They weren't reviewing a goal. They were reviewing a penalty. They were reviewing a penalty, whether or not it should be a free kick or not.
Are you tying this back into the Bruins game? Why the NHL can't do it?
I'm tying this back into all sports.
The slew foot?
Yes. And apparently this is, and I did not know about this, but of course I think it's fantastic because you have the technology to figure it out. Perhaps the referee missed something. I love the fact there's another layer beyond the referee or umpire or official on the field. There's somebody they have to ultimately answer to. So not one person can
corrupt
a sport.
You do realize every sport has some sort of version of this.
Not after the play is like way over.
Hockey is like that.
For a penalty?
Hockey, they wait until
a
whistle.
Look for a penalty.
Well, that penalty they called against Vegas, against San Jose, was well after. They made the decision after they saw blood.
Yeah, but they missed that call.
They do it for goals. They'll do it for offsides, things like that.
They're just doing it for a penalty in soccer. Never mind that other stuff. I assume that other stuff goes without saying.
Well, all right, soccer is... 90 minutes, 45 minutes a half. It's a quick game. There's no TV timeouts or anything because a sport like that can afford to do something like that.
I think all sports could afford to do that.
You're the one that wants to speed up all these games. Now you want to reverse time and find out if a penalty occurred. Let's put more time back on the clock and make the game even longer, even though you want the game shorter.
All I'm saying,
it's impossible. You can't have it both ways.
In that Saints game, that should have been a penalty.
There was two penalties.
And they should have got it right.
It was pass interference, and there was a hit to the head. They got neither right.
Okay. Get things right. And I just do.
But how do you do that while keeping the game, getting the game faster for people that are impatient and want things done in a tidy 2.5 hours? How do you do that?
Well, football's never going to be 2.5 hours. It's always going to be 3 hours. So I'm not really worried about that.
How are you speeding up the games here?
You're not speeding up NFL football. So forget it. You're not speeding up NFL football. And
how are you speeding up hockey?
I don't care about speeding up. Hockey is fine. It's like a smooth 2.5 hours of a clock. It's no big deal. I'm fine with hockey. You can make intermission a little shorter.
They got time. They have to clean the ice. Yeah. Three Zambonis out there now.
Do I need to see Arapahoe 8-year-olds play Littleton 8-year-olds?
Yes, it was one of the highlights of my son's career. Clump hockey, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
And then there's the one good skater that breaks out, and you got 18,000 people cheering for him.
Did you ever see that South Park episode about the kid who was like a 8-year-old wizard playing youth hockey?
No.
He was a wizard because he could just skate slightly better than all the other kids. So, I mean, you know.
Was it Cartman?
No, it was like against Cartman, but he was the kid from out of town who came in, ooh, ah, you know. I mean, I'm talking slightly better. You want a funny YouTube video pertaining to hockey, look up South Park hockey. It's funny. That's what those games look like. It's one blob going after another blob, but it's fine. No, I don't care about speeding up hockey. Hockey's fine. Hockey's always going to be 2.5 hours. It's fine.
Not if you're replaying after a whistle and going back to determine.
It'd be fine.
And let's say that happens 7 or 8 times a game.
It's not going to happen 7 or 8 times.
So then we're adding, then you have to add the time back on to when the penalty occurred. So therefore, we're adding probably a half an hour to the game.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are.
And you're just making stuff up now.
Of course I am.
Get it right. Just get it right. It's an interesting thing to see they're doing this in soccer.
They can, because the game is not much of a halftime, and it's 90 minutes.
What if there's a referee on the take?
In soccer, no way.
Oh, I know. That would be outrageous, wouldn't it? What?
What happens if the...
Israel Cabru from Peru was on the take? You're kidding me.
What happens if the video review guy is on the take?
Well, I mean, you know, what are you going to... Have multiple... Have like...
FIFA?
Three people.
FIFA is about
like
as dirty
horse,
as you can get.
The horse racing, where you have like three stewards looking at the video. So not one person can
sign off on it. Three people making a decision.
Two people.
All right.
Like when they go for the umpires with the baseball, they have two umpires there. So, you know, one umpire can't get paid off. Just open your mind a little bit. Holy cow. You live in the city of Denver.
That's right. Mushrooms.
That's right.
Anything goes,
that's
baby.
Right. See, you
it's
got
new Wild West.
You got what I was saying right away. Don't have to be subtle
Pretty
with you.
Pretty much do anything.
Manuel Sanders will be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. He's posting videos left and right. He looks great. I don't know why he would not be ready for the beginning of training camp. However, Kevin Durant, oh my gosh.
We haven't confirmed that it's his Achilles.
Oh, we haven't? I've heard everybody talk about it.
I haven't seen it confirmed anywhere. It seems like a pretty simple thing. When I tore my bicep tendon, they just felt my arm and said, "You tore your bicep." I feel like if you tore your Achilles...
Why is everybody saying it's an Achilles then if it's not been confirmed?
Because that's the reports after when he left the arena last night on crutches and in a boot. The initial report was they fear that it's an Achilles injury.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, whatever.
Well, no, the video evidence looked exactly like what happened when he first hurt the calf.
I thought it was the same thing.
And everybody immediately said at that time that it was an Achilles as well.
Oh, I thought it was just a calf strain again. I just thought he re-aggravated what he had. I don't know. Who knows? I think it's a problem. Listen, Stokely and Emmanuel, they're both about 6 foot. And I think Emmanuel's going to be fine. We'll talk to him about it tomorrow. But I got to think guys of that size, I know the whole history of Bill Walton and his Achilles, ankle, foot issues. It's been absolutely brutal.
This is the 70s and 80s medical.
I just think big guys have issues with that are different than smaller guys when it comes to.
Cousins has come back. That was an Achilles, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, look what happened to Paul George or Gordon Hayward or any of those guys with disgusting injuries.
Yeah, that's true. Is this the GM? GM of the Warriors? Okay, here it is.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back,
What is this guy going to cry?
Yeah, he gets really teary.
All right.
Went
through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts, and multiple MRIs, and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the...
Hold on a second. Why do you need multiple MRIs?
Because he's getting blamed for Kevin Durant coming back.
Was the magnet strength not strong enough on the first MRI? Did they go...
Well, no, you get the MRI done initially, and then you before he comes back to play, you get another one done, probably at the urging of the agent, just to make sure everything's okay.
I have no idea why... Well, I'll listen to the rest. Quickly, I have no idea why Kevin Durant played in this game, period.
Oh, I don't think people were saying that when he first started playing. Coming out, shooting, looking.
With what he has to come in terms of money, I really am not sure what he was thinking.
If it wasn't...
Oh, maybe he wanted to win. Unlike Todd Helton and Tony Romo, maybe he wanted to win a championship again.
He already won a championship.
Again.
Can't win it again if you don't win it the first time. Here's the rest of...
You just want him to be comfortable. Take the Todd Helton
process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world.
What is this?
And if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
It's clearly your fault, dude. Of course it's his fault. There was a lot of pressure on Durant. Of course it's your fault, Bob Myers.
You're blaming the GM for Kevin Durant playing. A grown man. They pressured him into playing the game?
Yes. Here's the rest of it.
And let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. A good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him.
What is this guy? Who is this dude?
He's a general manager.
He's
Tim Connelly.
Kevin Durant has more fans in this world. He's one of the most popular athletes on the planet Earth. Who hates Kevin Durant? Seriously, who are the Kevin Durant haters?
Westbrook, yeah, a little bit.
Big deal. I'm sure we can get past Russell Westbrook's rolling eyes. This guy is going on.
What he's doing is he's deflecting. He's making it about Kevin Durant because he's deflecting some of the blame, even though he says, if you want to blame someone, blame me. I'll fall on the sword. And then he talks about what a wonderful person Kevin Durant is. He's making a little straw man argument here where he's just deflecting and creating this separate thing to take it away from
him
himself.
Right. Oh, okay. This guy's interesting. Nobody thinks Kevin Durant's a bad guy. Everybody thinks Kevin Durant's awesome. So we got Sanders. Emmanuel's talking about it. Oh, all right. Here we go, Emmanuel.
Yeah, once mostly, you know, it was superstar athletes. Achilles and clapping that and being happy that he tore it. That's not good. That's not humane. But I'll probably reach out to KD, probably like give it like a week or something, just let it dial down and see if he has any questions, which I can open up.
Well, Emmanuel's talking about the
reaction from the crowd immediately after.
Who knew there were classless Canadians? I thought everybody in Canada was like nice. I mean, that reaction was absurd. Oh, boy, you got to agree with me on that.
I think they they got it together and started chanting KD and stuff when he went off the court. They I think they realized their error. I think they were more excited that – I don't think they were thinking it was his Achilles. They just thought he went down and lost the ball maybe initially.
Oh, I think they once they saw that he was down, the crowd rose in celebration. But then you're probably right. It probably quickly turned because the Raptors players were like telling the crowd, shut up.
Right.
And Drake was having an epic meltdown of like sorrow. So you're probably right.
I think human nature would be, you know, if you saw Patrick Mahomes get hurt in a game, I think your initial reaction as a Bronco fan, you'd be sort of happy because he's not going to be in there. And then you would, a couple minutes later, realize, wait, he's a human like me, so maybe I should kind of tone down and...
Ah, that's the crowd. I'm more interested in, like, blaming the Warriors for Kevin Durant. So, let's hear from Chuck.
You've been asking these guys all morning if there's somebody to blame.
Yes.
Yes, there is somebody to blame. The Golden State Warriors for putting KD out there. Listen, that was not right. You know, if you go back and look at the last 2 weeks, the article comes out, KD's worst nightmare, the Warriors are winning without him. Then you come out, you read the articles, the Warriors are really unhappy when KD won't risk his Achilles. They're frustrated with KD. Now this man has to be feeling some type of weight. So I blame the Warriors for KD getting hurt, and I don't care what they say about it. They shouldn't have put that man out there. And you know how I know it? Because he blew out his Achilles.
If Chuck isn't on the TNT set, is he always doing interviews in his bathroom?
I think so, yes. I think he's just got a little camera, a little FaceTime set up in the commode.
This happens, the stress that an NFL team will put on a player because you're only playing 16 games. There's pressure like this every week for players to go out there and, you know, perform. But KD's grown, though. He could have said, I'm not ready to go yet. And I don't know if this injury, the calf injury, can people connect the dots already? I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. Can we say, he had a calf injury a month ago. He came out, and that's why the Achilles, to me, the Achilles, when it goes. It's kind of this weird.
Yeah, but like.
There's no lead up to an Achilles tendon rupture.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, we'll
talk to Emmanuel tomorrow.
That's right. And he's had a series of foot injuries throughout the years. And the way Emmanuel heard is when the Achilles finally popped, it was very benign. It was during like the warm-up period of a Wednesday practice. It was nothing severe. It was going to blow.
But was he dealing with a lower leg injury at the time that week? And he was practicing on a Wednesday, so he was...
Yes, he had been dealing with lower leg, foot, ankle up to that week for the past couple of years throughout the history of himself as an athlete. So he had issues there all the time. We don't know what Kevin Durant's other sort of nagging sort of issues may be. Also, we also know sometimes you injure a body part because you're compensating for something else. We don't know.
Yeah, but this is the same leg. But you can place blame on the Warriors for
obviously he needed significant time off.
If I'm going to blame someone, it's the Raptors for going up 3-1. That's what forced Kevin Durant into the game.
Yeah, well,
because
it was a
closeout game, and he felt like he needed to be there for his teammates.
All right,
let's blame the Raptors.
Blame Canada. You want this team? We're going to blame the whole country.
I'll tell you what, how does that look for the Raptors when they're booing Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard's watching that and watching the fan reaction to that? That's not good for recruiting. That's
right.
A bad look for
your
team.
Because you all love Canada, but none of your players are actually from Canada. I bet there's not many NBA players, Tommy, who actually want to play in Canada. But that being said,
Toronto? Toronto's a fantastic
Toronto
city.
Toronto is a fantastic city.
Jamal Murray would like to play there.
Is that where he's from? Okay, Jamal Murray is one. How many other Canadians?
RJ Barrett.
Coming
out
another.
From Duke.
Who else we got?
There's plenty of Canadians in the league.
Plenty or three?
Just give me some time.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was weird, man. It probably was. By the way, Kawhi, layup man would have won the NBA championship. Don't. What are you doing? I don't care that you had a double team. Figure it out. No.
Their plan was to stop him at all costs.
Then get fouled.
It's why Iguodala was left open for that three in the other game.
I don't care.
Because stop all other options.
I don't care. This is it.
You're okay with Lowry taking a three?
He had no choice.
He set himself up behind the three-point line when he just needed two.
They were just running the offense, sort of. And the offense of the NBA is one guy does everything and everybody else spreads out.
Why do we have to go place blame? Why can't we say that the Warriors, the heart of that champion team, showed itself? Because they could have easily, 103-97, just shut it down and said, you know what? We're tired. We're beat up.
Who are you pulling for in this series?
I tell you what, watching that game, and I watched that entire game, and I was, by the end of it, I was like sweaty. It was a the theater of that game.
Who are you pulling for?
I'm going to say Golden State.
Me too.
I don't know why. I should not.
I know why. Because I don't live in Canada.
What?
Yeah.
What do you...
I'm sick
what
of...
What do you hate? The Blue Jays and the Maple Leafs and the Raptors?
Yeah.
How about the Canucks? You hate the Canucks?
Can't stand the Canucks. Never liked the Canucks.
Argonauts?
Hate the Argonauts.
Stampeders?
Hate them.
Jets? Winnipeg?
Soft spot for them.
Calgary, Oilers, you hate Gretzky?
I don't hate all Canadians. But now it feels like Canada versus the U.S. And the U.S. is the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
You know what?
It should have been
14-0.
Thailand.
We come back.
Have a heart.
The Broncos training schedule is out. And a big Poppy update. I'm pretty sure I know what it was about because I saw them beat the crap out of the guy who shot him.
Did you see the shooting too? I saw the guy walk the shooter. I saw Poppy get shot.
Wow. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, we'll get to the Broncos training camp schedule here in a little bit. There's a couple of little quirks to it. On the Big Poppy story, now we've seen video on TMZ of him actually getting shot. I had not seen that till you brought to my attention. I did see video of him, like a selfie video of the guys he was hanging out with.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and I saw multiple videos of the beatdown. So here's my take on him, based on all the information available. This was a hit, and likely, my guess, it's a hit from some sort of drug lord who has a beef with Poppy, and I'm going to guess a woman or something else is involved with it. I don't think it's a kidnapping situation.
This is your guessing?
Yeah, this is my guess. Now, I've seen some speculation about this exact thing, and it just so happens that I agree with that speculation. But let me explain it to you a little bit. First of all, the hit was very unsophisticated.
It was, from what I've read, is that the shooter isn't the one that's getting the beatdown. There were two guys on a motorcycle.
Okay.
And the shooter himself is still at large.
Is that right? Okay.
And the one that got the beatdown was the driver of the motorcycle.
Okay, even makes more sense to my little scenario, by the way, is that these were guys who were paid. So who's going to pay somebody to go hit David Ortiz? Let's just think about
somebody
that
for a second.
Somebody
with a lot of money.
Okay, and it's somebody that probably leans in the negative way of life. Correct? Probably a criminal.
Right.
Okay. David Ortiz is not... Nobody in David Ortiz's family was threatened in this incident, or not that we've heard of. So, to me, it makes sense that these two guys, the guy on the motorcycle and the guy who pulled the trigger, were just low-level guys.
Right, and that's why the police, or that's why it was so important for that mob not to kill the one they caught.
Yeah,
because they need information.
They
got
to connect them from one point to another. Now, what type of guys would actually do this? Drive a motorcycle and pull a trigger on David Ortiz? They're just low-level scumbags.
Desperate for money?
Desperate for money and probably, you know, work people for some sort of drug kingpin. Because I just don't know what other criminal element would, you know, sort of go in that direction. This isn't like a white-collar crime sort of thing. This is the lowest of the low. And I did hear a rumor there was some sort of woman involved with this whole thing. And that, to me, makes sense because even though Big Poppy is Big Poppy and just is a hero in the country, it's not like he's in the fabric of a of the country like some sort of drug kingpin. And my guess, too, is the police were totally bought off in this whole thing. Because did you notice in the beating of the individual, there's no police at all. None. I mean, that beating with that guy goes on for a long time. And there is no police involvement whatsoever. I couldn't believe how long he was on the street getting the snot kicked out of him. There's only two guys to try to cover. And if this nightlife area is like such a pristine and beautiful and big sort of place, there's got to be police patrolling around all the time. So to me,
maybe they went after the shooter.
Maybe they did. I'm sure there should be other police around. This is rotten to the core. Seeing that video of him getting shot, Tommy, I can't believe he wasn't killed.
It's disturbing. I mean, the dude walks up. He's probably, what would you say, two feet?
I'm actually surprised he didn't pull the trigger again. Like, there weren't a couple of shots. It was only just one shot.
That makes me believe they were amateurs because you think you'd want to make sure if you were getting paid to kill him.
Yeah.
So they're not going to get paid.
And based on the physical nature of the tabletop bar, there's a rail between the shooter and Big Poppy. It's like a typical patio sort of nightlife bar. This had nothing to do with a robbery. That's absurd to think that this had.
That was my initial thought. Was first of all, I thought it was at an amusement park. Then I thought, well, maybe it was a robbery. But now I have to see in the video, there was no intent to go grab anything from him. He just got shot and the guy walked away. And everybody fled the scene.
Disgusting. Horrible. And thank God David Ortiz is still alive. I cannot believe he's still alive. So, yeah, David Ortiz, as far as, listen, I would, if I'm him, I never go back to the Dominican Republic ever again for any particular reason. It's repulsive, and the government should be ashamed. The local police is obviously corrupt. They should be ashamed. I mean, it's disgusting down there. Disgusting. And it's an awful thing to say about where you're from and your home area, but repulsive. And I know there have been other issues like tourists dying drinking bleach. And
right.
Talk about one place I promise you I will never go or want to go to in my life is the Dominican Republic. Pass. Pass. And I feel bad that there's so many good people from the DR that have to be linked to that sort of stuff that happens. And the United States isn't perfect. Trust me. I get it. It's disgusting, man. Disgusting. Can you believe he's alive?
He just got lucky. Didn't hit anything. It went straight through his...
It's a miracle.
...abdomen. So, I guess he got lucky. Now he's at Mass General, intensive care. He's been able to communicate with people. He had another surgery.
Miracle. All right. The Rockies' spring training schedule came out. Spring training. Training camp. The Rockies get a big win. The U.S. women, we have highlights. You don't want to miss the highlights from the U.S. women's soccer game today. It was a barn burner. Details next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Training camp schedule's out. Came out earlier today. There's some quirky things to it. First of all, it starts a week earlier than normal because of the Hall of Fame game, because we have five preseason games this year. But the Hall of Fame game's, it's a big deal this year. Champ's going in. Mr. B's going in. A new coach. I can't say that there's anything wrong, Tommy, with starting early and having more practice for this coach and, his people. I think if it wasn't a new coaching staff, it'd be a drag. But I think that's all right this year, even under the knowledge that we have way too many preseason games already.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, somebody's going to play in it. I'm glad it's the Broncos because it means that they're represented at the Hall of Fame. It's not a perk, but it's just, it's nice to be in the game, I guess.
I
wish that they could just delete one other game in the current.
Yeah, that would make sense. We do have a joint practice, too, with the 49ers. But this is just the schedule for the fans. The fans only get so much of the training camp goes relatively quickly. There is a change, though, significant. First of all, there's a stadium open practice, which I think is great. I think it comes at a good time. It comes, 10 days into camp. Tommy, I'm sure it's good just to change the scenery a little bit at that point, have the players just, move around, go somewhere different, get a different atmosphere. I think that's positive. Did you guys ever do a training camp practice at Mile High Stadium?
Yeah, we did a few.
What'd you think?
Just like you said, it's nice. It's just a change of pace type thing. It's good to get guys that have never played at the stadium before, get acclimated to it. It's easier, I think, for fans to access to have right up.
Oh, I think it's great for the fans. I think that to me is just absolutely fantastic.
But it just breaks up the monotony of camp being at Dove Valley every day at 9:15.
Yeah. Now, this is all with the understanding for fans that football practice is inevitably boring. I think some people are very, very excited about the going and being there. And then I see the faces in the first hour or so of practice.
That's because it's all individual. The first part of practice is...
It goes for like an hour.
Is the O-line is by themselves, the D-line is by themselves, the offense is working against air a lot of the times, and it's everybody's broken up. If you could miss the first hour, I would suggest, but you're not going to get any parking at Dove Valley
at
that
point. You
are,
though. You will. You'll be fine. To me, the biggest hidden secret of training camp is just that. You will find parking. Plus, there's parking across the street at the soccer fields if the fields all fill up.
Arrive late. I would never go to the beginning of any training camp practice. You're going to miss stretch. You're missing a bunch of wasted time.
If you're for the fans, I completely agree. I think for the media, there's a certain obligation to because there are things that do happen even during stretch if you're paying attention. And part of it is who's here, who's not here, what actually is going on.
Those are minor changes. Who didn't come out, who's injured, who got the day off. But you can get that an hour in.
Yeah, if you're going to one training camp practice.
It's at 9:15. The same people at 9:15 are going to be there at 10:15.
Right, and the hill that they've built, first of all, there's no shade. But the practices, for the most part, are in the morning, except for monsoon season, and then we have practices there, too. We'll get to that in a second. But the hill doesn't completely ever fill up. It really doesn't. It gets crowded, but it's a big hill. And so what if you're a little elevated? Frankly, being a little elevated at practice is better.
It's a better viewing and you're safer.
Both those things. And by the way, once it's time to line up for autographs, everybody filters to the bottom. If you got there at 5:00 in the morning, you have no inherent advantage about getting different autographs than if you got there at 10:30. So that's just a little advice.
Stay out of the sun as long as you can. Get there an hour after because you're not going to miss anything.
They've got a plaza up top too, which is fantastic. That does have shade and misting tables, and they've got food trucks out there. They've really made it a cool thing. The Broncos have done a great job in organizing. And it's all free. It's all free. Now, they have done something different. They've scheduled 5 practices during the middle of monsoon season. Practices starting at 2:15. 5 of them. 2 of them are during our show. So we will be broadcasting from Dove Valley from training camp for the first time in like 3 years.
Is there a problem with this?
Not for me.
No, you say monsoon season.
There are lightning warnings almost every afternoon around that time. That's it. And
this isn't youth sports where if there's a lightning strike within 10 miles, they clear the field.
Yes, they do. Hell yeah, they do. Yes, indeed, they do.
Change protocol?
they. Well, I don't know what
we
the,
could.
The
I could sit there
is.
During practice and watch lightning strikes. The the guys in the boom lift things. They'd come down.
Oh,
and
things
they'd
have
film.
Things have changed. I was out there last week for an OTA, and there was hear the alarm go off. There, I looked around; the weather was fine, but you know it's.
And everybody went inside.
Everybody clear the area. That's it. The end. What can I tell you? We've also been out there where it really feels like end of days in the afternoon.
I don't mind the afternoon when you have, like on the 26th, they have a morning practice, and then to the next day, not till 2:15. That's a nice little break for the players.
Listen, it's
and you play your games. You play your games at 2:15. It's setting your body clock
for the players. This is absolutely fine. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal because they built a. Gorgeous field house right next door, so nothing.
Yeah, but during training camp, you just can't get the same work in. There's not enough room in that field house that you could get with the three fields.
Granted, but the only thing, period, that's really interrupted significantly is special teams. Special teams, you seem to need more fields than anything. I was there for the OTAs. It was all the players that are going to be
special
there for training
teams
camp.
Just need one field?
Now, they need, I don't know why they need so much room, but they need, like, special teams needs all sorts of room. We were in there for the mini camp. There was a lightning warning. We go inside, and then the rain comes and goes, and then they go back outside to finish the practice specifically for special teams. I don't even know why. Who knows? Why they even practice special teams is beyond me, but that's another topic. However, there's another quirky change. Another quirky change that is uniquely Vic Fangio. And I'll tell you what the details of that are next.